tell people all the time, they can't turn me down on the air because, like I say, my friend Paul Strelo. Paul, that's safe to say. You can send me a text after the show, say, don't call me your friend anymore. But not only a great recruiting coordinator, I would say friend of mine, Paul Strelo. Is that okay? I'm okay with that?
I think we can go that far in our relationship now.
Okay, good.
Like, I'm ready to go public with that.
But now, remember, that's a public commitment, but you can back out at any point in time. So that's good. Larry Williams and I got off to a rocky start before I knew him. He was a writer at Charleston. He jokes that I called him some moron or something on the air, and he's riding down the road and heard it. Now I consider Larry a dear friend of mine. So if it ever went south, we can always put it back together, which is a good thing.
I mean, you were right in some respects. So no.
Last night, I got one recruit to ask you about before we get into some Clemson football stuff.
Yep.
Last night, we're at Max Drive-In. I'm taking my son. We're bachelors. My wife is at a convention. Took my daughter down to the grandparents and all that stuff. So, and I look up, and I said, man, who's that cyborg over there? Who's that good-looking joker? It's a big old boy there. And he's got this great personality, and he walks in with his dad. And it turned out it was Matt Schell walked in with his son, Jay. And I knew he was a prospect. I didn't know he was legit 6'3". And 220-pound looking beast there, but a linebacker from over in Rayburn Gap. And I'll ask you about where he is in his recruiting, and is he as good a player as he's looking on the hoof? Because that was a good looking Jesse we saw last night. Now,
no, Jay has put in the work. A former Daniel player, or very early in his career before he transferred to Rayburn Gap. Family still lives in Seneca, to the best of my knowledge. But yeah, 6'2", 6'3". 215, Clemson's very first offer for the 28 class. They had him, you know, worked specifically to get him on campus to convey that offer in person, you know, before they advanced the rest of their 28 offers. Someone that, you know, I think Clemson will be in the top handful for the distance for, but I think one they will have to work for, because there have been other schools that have been heavily involved for a while. I think Tennessee is one of them. You know, I think Texas A&M, Oklahoma holds strong appeal. There are connections there to Brent Venables that go all the way back into his time at Daniel. So there are other schools that appeal, but I think Clemson has a fairly strong shot there. And if Clemson can kind of take care of its business to a degree on the football side, you know, I think that adds to their appeal. And I don't know if I'm ready to say it will make them tough to beat in the end, but this early. But I do think they are going to, you know, probably be the ones that the other schools view as the competition for these next few. You know, I don't think he's anywhere near a decision. But for the, you know, for a while, it, you know, I think that people are going to see the connection to Clemson and feel like that's a school they're going to have to beat.
Four-star, is that pretty solid from an assessment standpoint? Top 250 player, top 200 kind of player?
I think so. You know, I think that you know, he was on the radar early, and certainly a lot of those, you know, some of the physical maturity can come from, you know, these guys reclassifying, and what comes with that, and where they are in their physical maturation. You know, I don't think he will be a blow anybody off the charts tester, as a combine tester. But you know, I think you look at him and physically, like he's kind of how you want them drawn up. And I think that, you know, a guy who has put in the work and is pretty football savvy and dedicated to the sport, I think there are a lot of boxes that get checked for him being a pretty easy call as a four-star prospect. And we'll just kind of see where it sorts out numbers-wise, you know, really as he goes into what is his junior season.
All right, let's skip into or switch gears now into – some football stuff. You spent a lot of time around it. You've listened to all the ACC media days. You went to Clemson media days, heard all that, and I know you've written a lot about some of these topics that we'll ask about today. Across the board, it's the Christopher Cena and the Tate Reynolds stuff. You've seen more of Tate Reynolds, follow that more than our average listener has. You've seen all the Cena stuff here so far in development here. Give me the keys to that, the breakdown of how that might go, some scenarios of how that might go, and just how this might, or is it a battle in your mind? Can it be a battle? Is it, where is it now? Where could it be going? Either way.
Mm-hmm. I think I have a hard time believing you walk into LSU knowing the environment that's going to be, and you're going to start a quarterback, start Tate Reynolds, who really played, you know, started hit the first game of his high school senior year before he got hurt, and really has not started a game otherwise since going back to his junior year of high school. You know, I think we've seen the pattern before, whether it's most coaches or it's Dabo Swinney, where you've got that high-profile first game, you are leaning on veterans. You are leaning on guys who have played, and not that Vezina has a huge wealth of experience. You could circle back to that. But I think a veteran who has been in those kind of environments, that I think you've seen him act like a veteran this offseason and how he's gone about his business, I just think there will be more trust for that season opener in a guy who's put in the work year over year, and you kind of you have a better feel for how is he going to respond, and just kind of what his strengths and weaknesses are at this stage. You know, I think from there, anything's open on how it goes, because I think that Reynolds gives them a little something different as an athlete in the run game. And I don't know that to this point we could say that Tate Reynolds is better than Christopher Vezina right now. You know, but I think that given what we've seen or heard, maybe more heard, on Vezina's trajectory, you know, year after year and where he is now, that if the young guy is closing the gap to that degree, that you feel like he can shoot past it when you give him experience, when you give him opportunities, and kind of expedite that learning curve. So is there a ceiling to having Christopher Vezina as the quarterback? I think that's the kind of question that needs to be answered with throwing him out there. You know, again, they've got a lot of returns from practices through the years, and even through this spring in Chad Morris's offense. But I think it's how quickly can Tate Reynolds come along and maybe even close the gap further. You know, I think there's just the case to be made for Tate's upside, that going into year four, we haven't seen with Vezina, but, you know, Vezina will have the chance to show that, all right, now that you've made me the starting quarterback or the first team quarterback, here's what I can do, you know, as I'm gaining this experience in these windows. So I kind of think it's you run CV out there for LSU, and see how it goes, and that will kind of set the course for what things are going to look like game two, game three, you know, and ultimately, you know, leading in. I mean, you got big games against Cal and Miami early on. But I think that first game is going to set the tone for what direction this goes and how quickly it goes.
I get this, and you can understand why I would get this a lot. First of all, I get the Chris Denson stuff. Like, but Denson's like, nah, I don't believe you want that right now. So I got to throw some water on that one. I'll let you throw water on this one because I do it often. Or correct me if I'm wrong. I get this, well, Deshaun took over at this point in time and Trevor took over at this point in time, so it might be that. And I'm like, wait a minute, man. Like, we're not talking about the same kind of quarterback here. Reynolds
Correct.
Is nowhere. What Deshaun had and what Trevor had was an expansive, first of all, talent base. They were more talented than he is, but also a ton more experience at the high school level and kind of growing up in a system that really fit all that. Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, combined with they were more established passers.
Yes.
I mean, they had – both those guys had years of leading a team and carrying that team to greater heights. To being guys that high school defensive coordinators and defenses had to reckon with, and you couldn't stop him. You know, Deshaun, Trevor, like those guys were just forces in what they did, and that's not where Tate Reynolds is. Like, I think you know, he has to be, you know, gain consistency and accuracy and improving things in that regard. You know, he made great strides between his sophomore season and his junior season. And that's where not having a senior season, I think, somewhat hurts. And I don't think he was going to arrive, even if he did have a senior season, in a Trevor Deshaun level. But I do think there are areas, you know, as you're cleaning up fundamentals and things technically, but also, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the guys who kind of get out there and own the field at quarterback. And I don't know that he has necessarily had the time to show and do that and to reach that developmental stage. And I think it's an important one. I think if you're Clemson, you're looking at, he's kind of got the factors that we like in leadership and maturity and athleticism. He's got tools that we like. Maybe we can bring those along and just kind of, have him kind of manage the offense and kind of get us through, and we draw the reference commonly to, I think, early on in Taj Boyd's career, how Chad Morris was kind of able to manage that when a young Taj Boyd, you kind of gave a simplified level of offense and kind of relied on others to around him. So, I think the idea of can you bring in a runner like Tate who, with this offensive line, you're working to establish more of a run game and build that up. I think there are cases to be made for why Tate can give you more over the course of the season. If nothing else, then just going ahead and, all right, we know what the ceiling is. We're trying to build toward the future and build for something greater than maybe even this season.
All right, final position today. Gideon Davidson did not have a great freshman season. I'm not sure he had a lot of opportunities there. We're only talking about 60 carries, but it's 4.3 yards per carry. No rushing touchdowns as a freshman. Izamume is I hear great talk about him body wise and all this stuff. I hadn't seen athleticism explosive with this one yet. Obviously Chris Johnson is going to add a whole dimension, and how they use him is going to be fascinating. Am I wrong for having more? I think I've seen more of Izamome. I worry about the athleticism a little bit, whereas Davidson I hadn't seen enough of, and I'm still going to give a benefit of the doubt that the upside is still there with him and just needs more opportunities. Where am I wrong right there?
Oh, I like the combination of Davidson and Chris Johnson, and I think that they will be good. Now, I think if you're expecting, I think where Davidson – might leave you wanting more is what I have not seen is necessarily him be the home run threat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's going to be that, just kind of even based on what we observed during the spring. I do think there's something to be said for, all right, now that he has had a year under his belt, now that he's going to have opportunities and consistent opportunities, I thought we saw in the spring him flash being a pretty good running back. Having some more, doubles maybe than he had as a freshman, some more wiggle, better vision, that confidence and time and those things kind of brought to the table. Whereas a freshman, you're worried about you make one mistake and you're out, and that's kind of what happened to him. I do think that he is going. I think Davidson can be a really good back, and I use the model of what Indiana had last year on guys who are just physically advanced, like bigger, stronger, just well put together kind of guys with vision. And I think Davidson can do a lot of things. Is he going to be the guy who is putting up the 70-yard highlight runs? I don't know on that, but I do think he is very good back. And I think when you pair him with a home run guy like Johnson, I don't really, as long as those two stay healthy, I think Clemson's in a good spot. I think there's a significant drop off if they have to get to Easy or Jay Haynes or Jarvis Green at this point.
I'm glad you validated my thoughts here. I'm going to leave you with this. This is one of the great sayings of all time. Whitey Jordan, I've mentioned this before in the air, but Whitey Jordan was the running backs coach at SMU with Eric Dickerson and Craig James, and then running back coach at Florida with Emmitt Smith. And he's played here, coached here. He's one of my all-time favorite people, Hall of Fame here. And Coach Jordan, when Emmitt Smith's junior year, he came out early, and the NFL scouts told him, by the way, the future NFL rushing leader in career yards, NFL scouts said, we don't like Emmitt as much as you do because we don't think he can take it 80 yards. And Coach Jordan's response says, yeah, he can, 20, 20, 20, and 20. You know, that could add up to 80 and four carries rather than one carry. So, anyway, that was a great stuff there. And doubles, let's hit doubles. Better than singles, better than strikeouts through all that. Tell me about tell me about home runs. Tell me about TigerIllustrator.com.
Yes, a lot going on as far as, one last guy on the recruiting board coming up for this class, Seth Williams, a decision coming next week. So we continue to have item on that, as well as we've written a lot about Clemson's 2028 quarterback pursuits and news and develops there as Clemson developments, as Clemson tries to advance that cause here, as they, historically have tended to during the summer. More coming as camp rolls around here in another 2 weeks, and kind of the build up to that team news wise and some basketball coverage as well that we've had on the site with our Brad Brunell interview series, which always is a popular and in my opinion probably the best thing, one of the best things we do year round. So a lot going on for football recruiting and even basketball here as they get prepared to head to Italy.
Place to find it, TigerIllustrator.com. Paul, always the best. Let's talk more of it when we visit next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Mickey.
Thank you, buddy. Paul Streel, thanks for your time. Good stuff. Short break. We'll come back. We've talked about every team or almost every team in the SEC Media Day so far, except for one of the final ones that we'll go today, LSU. When we come back, we'll talk about Dr. Mixon's LSU team and talk about Lane Kiffin's first year right after this.
From the first kickoff in Death Valley to the final pitch in Doug Kingsmore, we're your flagship station for Clemson athletics all year long. The Clemson Athletic Network lives right here on The Roar. On The Roar, where every day is game day.
Like the simplicity of this, the name is the number one, Tom Plummer. In Greenville, in upstate Anderson and Seneca and Spartanburg and Clemson and all out the upstate, let them take care of it. Hey, if you're listening in the Midlands or down in Charleston right now, Clemson grad have started the franchise down there as well. One Tom Plummer. When it comes to drain cleaning, when it comes to plumbing issues, when it comes to any of your emergency issues, let them take care of it for you. You never know when it was going to happen, but burst pipes, when it comes to outdoor plumbing, when it comes to the septic tank stuff, they'll do a great job. Water heaters, they'll do a great job for you. Adding a sump pump into your basement or any of this kind of stuff. One Tom Plummer. Remember, the name is the number. One Tom Plummer.
More wall-to-wall sports.
Yes! Wow. Over there, Drake, by request.
Yes, sir.
A little Back in Black. We live in a home, Drake lives in a home that has been twice financed by Prime Lending. We did a remodel, and it went outstanding. And we refinance first. It went outstanding. Then a remodel second. And these guys did a terrific job for us. It was easy, greasy, lemon squeezy. Love the fact they're going to take care of you. Hey, get the best rates available right now. Get three estimates right now. Do it over at Prime Lending, primelendingsc.com. Mark, trust him. Trust Amanda. Known those folks for many, many years now. And let's tell you, they'll do an absolutely amazing job for you. Check them out. It's Prime Lending. And primelendingsc.com. In this segment, I want to get to LSU. There was a statement made by the SEC media guys that one of the guys said that LSU's got to win the national championship game or make the national championship game this year for it to be a success. And a couple of things there. You didn't hire Lane Kiffin to go win the Citrus Bowl. And he didn't hire Lane Kiffin to go finish behind Alabama and A&M and Oklahoma and Texas. You hired Lane Kiffin to go win and win big at the highest levels. Now, I will say this, where I do add some credence to that is we used to have to build. And now it's not like you've got to go and rebuild things. And, I mean, you do, but it's not going to take 4 years or 5 years. There's no 4 or 5 year plans anymore. You paid Lane Kiffin a gazillion dollars. You're paying $50 million for this roster And so when you hired Kurt Cignetti in Indiana, he goes 27-2 in his first 2 years and won a national championship. If you're LSU, you didn't fire Brian Kelly to go 9-3 or even 10-2. You're hiring Lane Kiffin to come in and to win national championships and to win SEC championships and to win, to make it college football playoffs, make semifinals and finals and win. And it won't be in year one because they did go 7-6 last year. The shocking part is I would just guarantee that I don't know a whole lot about LSU because you got way too many transfers. We'll go over that later on. I mean, every wide receiver of your top 9 wide receivers, 8 are either transfer portals or freshmen. Of your top 6 offensive tackles, 5 of them are transfers or freshmen. 10 of your 11 guys on the second team offense right now are true transfers this year. 6 guys on the first team are transfers this year. Of your 22 on offense right now, 16 transfers and 6 guys that are coming back that played last year. So you get 16. Now you went out and spent a gazillion dollars on Jordan Seaton, All-American offensive tackle from Colorado. You went out and spent a bunch of money on Winston Watkins, wide receiver from Ole Miss, and Jackson Harris and Jace Brown and Eugene Wilson. And you went out and spent a ton of money on Sam Levitt. But fact of the matter is, you didn't spend that money on to rebuild. You got to win. You got to win now. But you also don't know what you have. I do know one thing that you have. You'll be better on offense at LSU. Last year, 22 points a game and 334 yards a game and 104 yards rushing a game. All that's about to – I mean, the 334 won't double. The offense won't double. They won't score 46 a game. They got 22.8. They won't average 45 a game. But they're going up. They're going to add at least 10 more points a game. They're going to go at least 100 more yards a game. They're going to rush for at least 50 more yards a game. And they're going to be much more explosive on offense. I don't know if they're going to be that much better on defense. Baker was retained. They were pretty good on defense last year. But the offense was just – Nussmeier, it didn't work. They couldn't run it. Barron Brown was a disaster, I felt like. And Xavion Thomas was a disaster. And Aaron Anderson was a disaster. It just didn't work. Turned it over too much. Nussmeier had 12 touchdowns and before the entire season. He got beat out. So Sam Levitt's going to be the guy now. And I'm not sure Levitt's a great quarterback. But Ashby, before we get to Darryl, let me ask you. The idea that Lane Kiffin on the SEC network to talk about, like, he's got to make the national championship game or go to the national championship. He's got to go. And I don't agree with that. I think maybe playoffs would give him some of that. But they didn't spend all – they're not going to spend $50 million on a roster and $100 million on staff and all that to go out and to go 9-3. What is the expectation?
I think going to the playoff, probably.
Playoff. Which means 10-2 or 9-3?
Probably 10-2, but looking at the schedule, like, there's some definite question marks there.
Yeah.
To start off, like, you got Clemson, which, despite what people are saying, you know, national or SEC or whoever, is not going to be a walk in the park, I don't think. You got right. Clemson, then you got right. Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
Then Ole Miss and A&M back-to-back. Like, that is
at Ole Miss, where it's a pit for Lane, then A&M.
There is a very, very real world that you start out 2-2 or potentially even 1-3. That's a real life situation. And if that's where you're at, conversations are going to be really funky and crunchy and gross.
All right. I don't think it's going to go well. Is your dad listening right now?
Oh, yeah.
He is?
Yes.
Dr. Mixon, can you turn your radio down for a second?
He's going to agree with you, man.
I don't think it's going to go well. Look, I'm going to give them a loss to Texas at home. They could be – I told you I'm not high on Alabama, but that's a Texas loss. I get that. Maybe a Texas A&M loss. Maybe. It's a good year to have season tickets at LSU. You get Clemson, A&M, Alabama, and Texas coming. But with that said, even if you – and I'm going to give you two losses in there somewhere. There's, I don't know. Say A&M and Texas. Both those are home games. You might not lose both those. Let me tell you what he can't do. Don't slip up and lose to Tennessee on the road. Don't slip up where there might be mustard bottles and golf balls coming at you. Don't slip up and lose to either like at Auburn or at Kentucky. You know, and I think that's in play. A Mississippi State, if that game was in Starkville, maybe that game's in play. At Ole Miss, mustard bottles and golf balls. Arkansas was not good enough to beat them. But, like, I think later in the year, who knows what Tennessee, that freshman quarterbacks, both those guys might be better by then. Auburn, year one, but Kentucky, maybe Stein, maybe Minchie's really good. Like, again, don't – I can forgive A&M or Texas, even though they're home games.
Yep.
Don't let that Clemson beat you. You can say maybe at Ole Miss and then Texas. Maybe beat Texas A&M or what? Split with Texas A&M at home. That's 10-2. Just don't lose anybody else. Because I don't think he hired. I don't think he paid $50 million to go 9-3. You didn't pay. What's the total investment for this football team, coaching staff wise or roster wise? Roster's 50. Coach staff wise is another 20. You're gonna pay $70 million to go 9-3. I don't know, man.
You're going to start having uncomfortable – this is what I'll say about it. Do you need to win the national championship in year one?
No.
Most coaches don't. It's happened, I think, 3 times in history. Okay? Do you need to make a dent, an improvement? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because if you pick up some early losses – or you drop a bad one, you lay an egg against a Tennessee, like you're saying, or an Auburn or a Mississippi State. Like,
yeah.
The leash of uncomfortable conversations is very, very quick. And I think LSU fans, I'm at least speaking for my dad right here, are cautiously optimistic. But that first 4 weeks of the schedule, it's going to tell you a lot. It's going to tell you a lot. Because if I've invested – a ton of money into something, you want a return on it.
You better.
You got to have it soon.
Here's what I'm fascinated by. I'm talking about fascinated by.
Okay.
And excuse me, Dr. Mixon, for saying this. And is your granddad listening? I mean, you LSU people, excuse me for saying this. I want it to go bad because when it goes bad for Lane, it always ends up like the breakup, the divorce. Now, in the real divorce, him and his wife kind of reconciled a little bit. But get this now. Southern Cal people still don't like him.
No, Tennessee people hate
him. Tennessee people don't like him.
Did you see that quote
No.
from their coach? Oh, my gosh. He came out and said, at media days, I hope our fans are still ready to go buy golf balls.
Was that a real quote? Was that AI?
No.
That's a real quote?
I think it's a real quote.
Like, when he is revered, Ole Miss fans can't stand him now. When he's revered, I'm not saying he's a front runner. But what I'm saying, like, Lane wants to be loved. This is why Lane should not have left Ole Miss. If he stayed at Ole Miss, he'd have been loved for forever.
Ever.
If he goes 9-3 at LSU, 8-4 at LSU, and the bottom line is, like, I love a non-revered Lane and how it always works out. There's some bad, big, bad, messy divorces in there. I need to inject that in my veins. I need to mainline Lane Kiffin going bad in Baton Rouge and how all that ends and all the drama that is LSU and all the drama that is Lane Kiffin marrying into this one big diva fest.
It's going to blow up. It's going to blow up, but the question is it going to blow up before or after they have success?
Yeah, yeah. I just need that. As a sports talk show host, feed that into the airwaves. Like, let me just feast on that.
Inject it.
It'd be a decadence of hedonistic devouring of that blissful dessert of Bluebell ice cream and Heath toffee on top, man. Just let me just indulge in that.
Let me say this. I don't know where else he's going to go that he's going to have it more set up for him to succeed.
Yeah.
So, better make it work here.
Hey, but I always say it before, like, yeah, When you're in Never Never Land, it's great. But what if it's not? What if it's not? There are people, believe it or not, like, when they go to Disney, like, okay, I'm paying all this money, I'm going to go to Disney, it's going to go great. Yeah, but what happens when Disney's not great for you? Like, your kid got run over by a mascot and broke his arm or something, you know? Or, like, you're supposed to meet the, like, or you saw Mickey Mouse, actually, the head of Mickey Mouse, like, your kid gets terrified or something. Like, yeah, you pay a gazillion dollars to go to Disney World, and it's going to be great. But it's not always great all the time for everybody. Like, what happens when Disney World doesn't work? What happens when Lane Kiffin LSU doesn't work? I just need that, man. I'm sorry.
You
got
to deal with the consequences of deciding to go to Disney.
Yeah, and the same way that Auburn's dealing with it right now, you hired Hugh Freeze, you sold your soul, and it still didn't work. You're hiring Lane Kiffin, you're selling your soul to Diablo. And what happens if it doesn't work? I love that. I absolutely love that. Daryl, hang on. We'll take a break. Final segment of the show. I promise I'm coming straight to you because I love talking to you and I need to hear what's going on in Bowling Springs right after this.
If you don't agree with one of our hosts,
you're an idiot.
Let us know on the Pratt Injury Lawyers phone line at 864-654-ROAR. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Let me talk to you about friends at Ingles, and I'm going to be putting this up pretty soon here about my friends over at Ingles, and they do this awesome supporting schools and supporting your local schools around. So when you get your Ingles Advantage card, sign up for a local school, and I mean you're going to absolutely love doing that, and it's going to go well for you. It's going to go well for the school. You know, my wife's in education, and you just feel good that these people, that the people that support local schools. Curbside delivery is great. And check out their weekly ads when you go to ingles-markets.com and learn more about it. They've got great stuff with pharmacies and great bakery stuff. But more than anything else right now, since school is right around the corner, they do an incredible job of helping educators and helping these schools. And so to learn more about that, go to ingles-markets.com and go ahead and sign on to what they do with your Ingles Advantage card and take care. It's a really cool program. Really cool that they meet the community needs. It's a big part of what they do. Low prices. Love the savings. Love my great friends at Ingles.
We got your summer.
On the top, the king, you got to do great. Got the best music of the day coming up in the show later in the segment. Daryl's been very, very patient with me through my Lane Kiffin stuff. Good morning in Bowling Springs, buddy. How you doing?
I loved it. I'm doing great, Mickey. How are you?
Man, blessed, buddy. Very blessed.
Thank you. Well, you and Ashby bless me. I was telling Ashby, I love it when you predict how each team, or attempt to do so, will do in every game this year.
Yeah.
Just going through the and talking about coaches and their previous records, all that paints a picture. It's fascinating to me. I'm guilty of when you look at a team, and let's say they're a prominent national brand, and they're going up against, you know, they'll have several mid-tier teams that they're playing that might have a chance, or at least in my heart and mind, they may have a chance to knock off the prominent national brand. And, you know, everybody does this. All the hosts do it. And I do it myself in my heart. You pause when you think that team may have a chance to knock off the prominent national brand, and there's always a pause. And in the end, I pick the prominent national brand. And I would be curious to know what is your top 10 of the prominent national brands. You don't have to do it right now, and I can take it off the air.
For this year?
The ones that, like, give the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, Notre Dame used to be that way growing up.
Right.
I'm 67 years old, and then they got bad for a while, but they still kind of got the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But now that they're doing better, they definitely get the benefit of the doubt.
So let me ask you, you want top 10 for the Blue Bloods, or you want them for this season?
I want top 10 for the Blue Bloods, like recent, like the, you know,
the
prominent national brands for the past 20 years.
I got you.
For the past 20 years,
yeah.
You know, that your top 10 that we give the benefit of the doubt when we're trying to do
predictions. And even then, to your point, though, like last year, no one had Florida State beating Alabama. No one had Florida beating Texas. Like those things, because, you know, at Florida, the talk, I mean, at Texas, the talk was, oh, man, Ohio State, got to be Ohio State, whatever. But did anybody have Texas losing, scoring 7 points against Ohio State, right, and then laying an egg and losing in Florida? Because, you know, we go right. We do this stuff all the time of, oh, man, that's a win. But what happens when they're not? Like, what happens, like we said before, what happens when Disney World doesn't go great? Florida last year was 3-2 at one point in time. I mean, Texas was. Texas was 3-2. Texas was the number one team in the country. And at the end of September, they're 3-2.
Well, that win, Florida's win there surprised me. But it doesn't today as much as it did then because of you going through that dude's pedigree.
Yeah.
You know, leading up to it on this morning's show, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you could – well, that was the – correct me if I'm wrong, that's the guy that did well at Troy and Tulane.
Yeah.
Yes.
John Summerall. Et cetera, et
cetera. Yeah, so, John Summerall,
yeah. It's very – yeah. So I'm going to watch Florida differently in my mind. And, you know, I can't live and, you know, breathe and keep up with football 24/7. But in my mind, Florida's definitely dropped some notches. But now I feel like, man, they can be the old Florida.
Yeah.
So
well, maybe not the old Florida, but much better than where they've been. It's one of those things. It's like, hey, Not as good as I once was, but good as once I ever was. They can be better.
Toby Keith.
Yeah. They won't be Spurrier or Urban Meyer's great, but they will be better than they've been. How about that? Is that fair?
Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen. But your top 10, I'd love to hear it. I can take it off the air. That would be awesome.
All right, buddy. Always love hearing from you, man.
I always enjoy talking to y'all. Have a blessed day. Thanks. Have a blessed day, Ashby.
Thank you, Darryl. Have a great one.
I would put over the last, is it 20 years? Mm-hmm. LSU won a couple of national championships, so they would be in there. Michigan had a national championship. They'd be in there. Southern Cal would be in there. Georgia would be in there. Clemson would be in there. Ohio State would be in there. Alabama would be in there. Mm-hmm. And then you got some reaches of – this is teams that won – here's teams that won national championship the last 20 years. Florida, LSU, Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Michigan, Indiana.
I think Florida State's in there. As a team that you generally think – if you didn't know anything about – where individual teams were,
yeah,
you expect Florida State to be decent.
Yeah. And as I told Seminole Ted in an hour or two, like, I mean, the good news is, well, the bad news is you hired Jimbo Fisher and Willie Taggart and Mike Norvell. But the good news is you've got the potential of Florida State, what Bobby Bowden built. You're in Tallahassee, Florida. You've got the Spear and the Golden Helmets and Chief Osceola and Renegade, and you got this facility upgrade there. But even like the last 20 years, let me give you this. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. In half of the last 20 years, they didn't finish in the top 25. They weren't ranked at the end of the season. And only 5 times in the last 20 years has Florida State ended the season in the top 10 in the country. Only 5 times. 15 times they didn't. And on top of that, they had – at least 6 losses. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 times in the last 20 years, they've had at least 6 losses in a season. Florida State. Like what? In the last 20 years, 9 times, at least 6 losses.
It is feast or famine over there, it feels like.
Oh.
Crazy.
In the last 20 years, how many times do you think Clemson has lost 6 or more games?
The last 20 years?
Yeah.
Once.
3 times. Last year was 1. 2008 and 2010. Florida State had 9. That's crazy. So I would say Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Southern Cal, Florida State, Michigan, LSU. Those are the teams that won national championships in there. Oklahoma had some nice runs in the college football playoffs. They made the college football playoffs.
I don't think of but giving them 8. Who
your final two?
I mean, I would say Notre Dame, I guess. I'm not a huge believer that they've done anything necessarily worth putting them in that conversation.
Oregon,
yeah. Okay.
Here's the leaders for college football playoff. Alabama 9, Clemson 7, Ohio State 7, Georgia 5, Oklahoma 5, Michigan 3, Notre Dame 3, Oregon 3.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8. So, yeah. And
Oklahoma, that's interesting.
Yeah. But Oklahoma has – let me say right. I'm saying this. Oklahoma has not won a college football playoff game.
I don't think so.
They've been a bunch, but they've never won one. So, Oklahoma 0-4. And they're the only team who has been more than once that has not won one. Tennessee 0-1, SMU 0-1, Indiana 0-1, Boise State 0-1, Arizona State, Michigan State, Florida State, Cincinnati. Well, this is not including last year because Tulane, some of those. TCU's 1-1. Oregon's 1-2. That was going into last year. I need to update that one. But yeah, that'd be top. Oregon put in there, put Oregon and Notre Dame, maybe.
I think so. Right. I think they get the final two spots.
Okay. All right. Brad Hughes is my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We forgive the Brad Hughes and the accident forgiveness. They do a good job with that. Combine your auto owners and homeowners, you can save money. I just do it, and it works, and it's awesome, and can't be more satisfied with that. I'm going to forgive me for wanting for ill will on people. I try not to be a bad guy and wanting bad things to happen to people. But let us pray. Dear Lord, can you please let LSU struggle under Lane Kiffin and Pete Golden struggle under Ole Miss? Thank you, God. I mean. Dear football gods, I just want those things to fall apart. I want it to be, you know, Auburn, you don't have to pray for Auburn. Auburn finds a way to always stay in Divaville. In Dramaville. It's going to happen, man. Do you see any scenario, any world at all, where both Ole Miss and LSU are both satisfied with Lane Kiffin and Pete Golding in 5 years?
If I was a betting woman.
There's no scenario where that happens, where they're both. Now, one
no.
might. One might. But, like, they can't, right?
Which one is more likely to last 5 years?
Oh, Lane Kiffin.
I agree.
Pete Golden will be on probation for the Provost for having a late night kegger, some mad kegger.
The KAs and whoever else. Come on, boys.
Yeah.
Come on down to Margaritaville.
Got the cargo shorts on. Here. At least you tried to clean up a little bit. We've got a long 2 minute drill. So let's begin it. Best music of the day. We're not skipping music anymore. We have anything that's going to knock my socks off over here?
I mean, I don't know about that, but we got something that's really on brand.
All right, let's see it.
And it won't play.
Yeah. The best ending or the worst ending?